than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, the Bengals came to Baltimore, and they left with their tail between their legs. My goodness, what a defensive showing by the Ravens. So close to getting that shutout. But anyway, win's a win. Joining me as always, Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, feeling good. So that game on Sunday, I don't know where to start with that one. The defense definitely came, and they showed everybody what they're made of. Marlon Humphrey, Patrick Queen, both having an amazing game against the Bengals, and really were able to welcome that new rookie QB to the NFL, I think.
Absolutely, man. We brought it down and broke it down before and discussed how those rookie quarterbacks have fared in the Harbaugh era recently, other than Mr. Trubisky, with the Bears, who's now obviously benched. Rookie quarterbacks have had their problems with us. But before we really dive in, as I forewarned everybody, kind of preview on the Twitterverse there, that we wanted to preview this, I have a lot to unpack, and I wanted to get right to it. So you mentioned it before, like win, no matter what, it's still a win. Is it really? Because, again, I always try to stay off social media during football because, number one, I want to focus on the game, watch the game. My object is not to be my nose buried in my phone. There's a time and place for that. But the time I did, when the game was in hand, late in the third, I think it was like in the third quarter at some point, entering the fourth, I wanted to see fan reaction. Like, and that's kind of what I like to do during a game. Sometimes the game's in hand, I don't really have, and there's a lull in it, I'll check fan reaction. I'll check the pulse of Ravens Nation. Like, is Ravens Nation gushing over this win? Are we dominating, or is everybody up in arms? I tell you what, from the looks, I don't know. Again, I want to really understand your perspective too. I want to have a conversation about this because I have some feelings about everything. But you would think by the way Ravens fans, and I say that in quotation marks, were reacting to the game, you would think we were winless and we were losing this game. And I get it, right? We get the big elephant in the room. The offense isn't what it is. We're going to talk about that. We get that Lamar was hesitant. We get all that. And there's a lot of factors we can break it down. But it's like, my goodness, it's easy to critique from your couch, right? But you're not living Lamar's life. You're not in practice. You're not an NFL quarterback. It's easy to do. Me and you, it's easy to do, right? But you know, it came out that obviously he didn't practice for 2 days. He has a knee ailment. He had an illness, stomach bug. Apparently it came out that he lost a close friend of his. I mean, you got to play through adversity. He had an okay pedestrian game, but yeah, we want him to do good. But it's like, again, the Ravens were 13.5-point favorites. They were up 20-0. And not only that, but a defensive touchdown put them up 27-0. They were a minute away from a shutout. And it was a measly field goal. So they won by 24 points, more than three touchdowns. They doubled the spread. Yeah, pretty much almost doubled the spread. They had the spread doubled until the field goal. And again, they've won all four games this year by more than two scores. And they lost by two scores to the defending Super Bowl champions, who just fell this weekend by 8 points. So I don't know. It just, to me, I'm going to ask you, like, we can sit there and break down wins and losses. Like, okay, the Ravens lost the game. Why did they lose? Did they lose by a last-minute field goal, or did they get beat badly? You know, the Ravens win. Did they win by two or three touchdowns and they dominate, or did Lamar had to lead them back from a 10-point deficit, or was it a last-minute field goal of Justin Tucker? if you look at the Ravens Super Bowl wins, even if you want to even bring the Patriots into discussion, Brandon, I'm sure Patriots fans, if you ask them, they're not going to complain on how bad Tom Brady played in one of the Super Bowls. He's won six. They're not going to complain because he lost three of them. He's not going to complain. They're not going to complain. They're going to always remember Adam Vinatieri for at least three of the Super Bowls kicked the game-winning field goal. They're going to remember they won that Super Bowl. It's like the Ravens. Are we probably upset that they had a 28-6 lead and they lost the lead? Or I mean, they still led wire to wire, but they almost lost the lead. Yeah, it made a more exciting game, and it was very frustrating, but they won the game. They're Super Bowl 47 champions, you know, 8 years ago because they won the game. I don't care how. The object is to win a game. And my point is, in really unpacking all this, is like, you know, do you prefer the Ravens to ball out, Lamar to look like Lamar of last year, maybe even better, but they lose? Or do you rather them have the issues they're having and losing identity, because they have no offensive identity right now, and they're 4-1? So it's like, what if they figure it out? But then what if they don't? But they're 4-1. You know, they have the same record as the Browns, which isn't crazy. The Browns have won four straight since we beat them. So, you know, the Steelers are 4-0. You have the same record as the Chiefs, even though they have technically that half-game tiebreakers, they beat us. So you have to keep winning. You got to keep winning at all costs. And as I feel like I've grown up a little bit, I feel like I just care about the win. We can quote movies and cliches all the time. But one of my favorites is, you know, Fast and Furious, 2001, first one. Winning's winning, no matter if by an inch or a mile. Like, remember Paul Walker's character, God rest his soul, almost has you, dude. Hey, I got you. So it's like, Brandon, we could sit there and get lost in the sauce and break down a win. Like, well, did they win ugly or did they win pretty? But and I'm sorry for Dak's injury. You know, I mean, that was gruesome. Cowboys lost Dak for the year. But I don't know if you saw me on social media tweeting about it. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott against the Browns threw for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, and they lost the game. So what's it matter? Like, that's my point is, like, they can play stellar. Lamar can ball out, and they can still lose. And then what are you going to complain about? Like, then what? Then it ain't Lamar, or it ain't the offense. So because I had text messages, I had people respond to me, and they're like, and we were trying to argue. Obviously, I'm not arguing. And they're trying to tell me, like, I was, like, dismissing the identity of the offense or dismissing that we had a problem. Like, I'm not. I'm just saying I'm excited that my team's winning 27 to friggin' nothing. And I still understand that, yeah, they play sucky. But I'm, like, I'm not down about it. The Ravens are 4-1, man. Like, I don't know. I just feel like – that's why I'm going to get your opinion. Like, are you seeing that? How are your feelings on, like, wins? Do you really care that we're going back to old-school Ravens football, winning ugly in the NFL? Or are you kind of upset about these wins because, they're not playing like the 2019 Ravens. They're not rushing the ball, and I don't know what Roman's doing. You got to get his head out of his butt. He's not giving the running backs the ball. And I mean, yeah, we can break it down on our podcast. We can break it down in blogs. We can do whatever. But to me, a win's a win, a loss is a loss. And no matter how you break it down, you can win many ways. And we talked about it, Brandon. They won week one by passing. They won week two by rushing. They won this game by defense. The defense was like lights out, like 7 sacks all over the field. They even got a defensive score again. Marlon Humphrey showing his money again, you know, ripping fall. I mean, it's just like, again, I don't know. I just feel like it this way, it's like, what's the bottom line? Like, I feel like it's like you just throw everything out the window, Brandon. Don't show your work. I don't care how you arrived at the answer. The answer is a win. Move on. They got the win. They're 2-0 in division. Next is the Eagles. It's like, okay, yeah, they played crappy. So what? They won by 24 points. You know, like, I don't know. And they played one good team, and it was the Chiefs, and they lost. The measuring stick's going to be in November when they play the Steelers twice, Titans, and the Colts with New England thrown in there. So let's get to that later. We have the Eagles coming up, the bye week. We'll break it all down. But I just want to hear your perspective on, like, with that all being unpacked and said in that rant, like, you know, we get the Eagles' offensive identity. I just want to know, like, do you really care about wins, or do you care how they win, or you just don't care and they just win at all costs? What do you think? What is your take on all that?
As a fan, you know, I want to win, obviously, But I also want a game that's interesting. You know, if Lamar did come out there and this was, you know, 48-3 at the end of the game, yeah, that would have been great, but it would have been kind of boring to watch. So as a fan, I want to be entertained. So if there are some struggles throughout the season, then cool, because we get to figure it out. You get to watch the player evolve as a player, and you get to see what they can do and how they can kind of overcome what they've done before. What I saw on Facebook and Twitter and all those places during the Sunday was I saw a lot of people that seemed disinterested in the game and were more worried about the announcer calling Lamar Jackson Murray than Lamar
Jackson.
Which
I didn't hear, apparently. I missed it. Because maybe I'm paying too much attention to the game. I missed that, by the way, yeah.
I zone out on commentators unless it's like Jim Ross or somebody on AEW. But, you know, it's it is what it is. The people were more worried about him calling him Murray than Lamar Jackson. And, you know, it seemed like after the game there were some people that were worried about Lamar. But this is a guy who, like you said, missed two practices. He was sick. There was news, I don't know if it was confirmed or not, that he lost a friend. So you've got three things going on in this guy's life that he's got to now work on the football field, and he's got stuff to do there. So maybe his mind was in other places. Who knows? But, yeah, there's work to be done. But like you said, you know, we're in what was that, week five?
Week five, won 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah, so it's week five. So, you know, you've got new guys like J.K. Dobbins, and you're missing Marshall Yanda, who was always on that offensive line last year. There's new stuff to figure out. And again, I said this every single week, there was no postseason or preseason. There was no preseason. There was no OTAs. There was no rookie camp. These guys are figuring it out in the regular season. Would he be struggling if there was a preseason and got to work with some of these new people that are in the offensive line or on the offense? Would the offense still be figuring it out, you know, if there was a preseason? Those are all big question marks. We don't know. But as a fan, I want to be entertained. I don't want a blowout win. I don't want it to be, you know, 84-7. You know, I want it to be a fun game. I want it to be the Chiefs game was at least, I think, a little bit more fun than this one because there was a little bit of struggle there. See if they could overcome it. This was, I think, a lot of people thought no matter what, this was going to be a win. They found other things to focus on. And, you know, that's what they did. They focused on other things. They focused on what they wanted to complain about. I agree with you, though. A win is a win. This is going to help out in the division, which is great. And it really, you know, it showed how strong the defense is. If you know, something were to happen with the offense and they don't get on the same page, that's going to hurt a lot. But the defense right. is going to be out there and is going to be able to get the job done. The defense looks stronger than ever.
They did. And that's what was most impressive. I mean, they finally got after a quarterback, you know, 7 sacks. Burrow had he had no answer, no time for this defense. I mean, you know, they were in his warehouse. I mean, what I read a stat, wasn't the fastest sack under 3 seconds or something like that from snap to the end of the play. It was ridiculous. I mean, and all the defensive backs registered sack. What was like the first time in something or history? Like I read too, where each defensive backs registered a sack. So you know, and also we didn't mention it prior to the matchup, which you know I know me and you kind of talked about the record. But my miss last week breaking down the preview of this game was how could we not forget the national champion, the LSU matchup, which was Patrick Queen going against his former teammate Joe Burrow in this matchup. And we know how that went. Patrick Queen flexed it, showed who's boss. He won that first matchup, and it was no contest. And how about that? But how about Patrick Queen? This is my someone to rave about. How about Patrick Queen? You know, Burrow was back to pass. He was looking downfield. And here comes Patrick Queen laying the hammer down, sack fumble, you know, and then not only that, but how about Marlon Humphrey doing his trademark rip the ball out, punch the ball out, however, causing a turnover. Marlon Humphrey calls the fumble, scoop up, touchdown, Patrick Queen to the house. Amazing. You have to feel great for this kid coming into his own and, you know, just – again, man, what a stellar performance of the defensive game. It was on lockdown. Joe Mixon couldn't rush the ball. about Marcus Peters getting another interception, just adding to his league leading total since 2015. I think that's like pick number 29 or 30. It might be 30 at this point, if I recall. The defense, it kind of reminded me, like, yeah, I get it. Like, boring game, exciting game. Yeah, I love a nail biter, right? It's just that drama on Sunday afternoons. But this reminded me, even though they scored 27, 20 on offense, 7 on the defense, this reminded me of 2000. Just get us 10, 15 points and let the defense just feast. This reminded me of just like, it's 27-0. Who's next? Like, it was just, you knew when they scored that touchdown. And I think everybody's up in arms. And again, we're going to talk about, you know, turn the page here on the offensive struggles, because I think they didn't even score an offensive touchdown in the second half. I think it was, you know, they scored early and that was it. I think they got their last offensive touchdown in the second quarter and then that was it. And then they went away from the run game. Lamar looked a little hesitant on throws. Like, you've seen him pump, and he was kind of indecisive and then kind of wanted to throw it. I don't know what Roman was doing, but he kind of called the same play calling as it felt like playing against the Titans in last January or even against the Chiefs. You got away from the run game. Dobbins gets one carry for 30 yards, and you barely heard from him the rest of the game. Like, I don't know. I just don't know what's up with that. Lamar had his career high in attempts. It was just not the recipe good. And then you hear him try to get out of it, right? Whether he's telling the truth or not, it's, well, we had the games too much in hand. They thought they tried a different game plan because they had the lead to try that with. I don't know. But I to me, you got to stick to the script, stick with what you know best. And but it was still good to see Lamar get back. What a score with Mark Andrews, what a score with Marquise Brown. Like Harbaugh said, Devin Duvernay getting involved in the offense, right? So we're seeing kind of a Duvernay ascension and a decline with Miles Boykin in regards to that. So that's something to keep an eye out on the receiving core. But all in all, I'm not dismissing that the Ravens does offensive woes. They don't have an identity. And I feel like and we could probably sit there and break it down, right? We get past the Eagles 5-1 by November. They don't have the identity quickly. If they play losing football in November, the season's done. That's going to be the test, because December got some easier games. Got the Giants, got the Jaguars. As much as those teams are playing out, it should be wins later in the year there, stack up. And then you got the Bengals again. So it's going to come down to that stretch, you know, November and then December, opening against the Browns on Monday Night Football as it stands. What do you think, man? I mean, the Ravens have to get better. Mark Andrews recognizes it. Lamar, Hall, they got to get better. But I think that's everybody I've spoken to, that's a complaint. But I'm like, I feel like if they can win playing like this, that makes me feel good, because if they get it right, they can turn it on. I don't know. I told my buddy, I said, I'd rather be 4-1 with problems with these type of problems than be 1-4, 0-5 with the same type of problems. Like, Lamar's off. You know, we're not running the ball, and then we only have one win. Like, and we're out of playoff contention already, and we're not going to win division. I mean, we're right there. And wins keep pace in division. Wins qualify for the postseason. It doesn't matter how many touchdowns you throw, how many yards you gain. It matters at the end. Bottom line, Brandon, it matters what the scoreboard says at the end. Do you have more points than the opponent, and how many wins do you have at the end of the year of the 16 games? You have 10, you have 11, you have 13, you have 15, whatever. You know, they qualify you for playoff seeding. Not, this isn't fantasy football. This isn't, you know, this isn't DraftKings. This isn't like Lamar. We get it. We want Lamar to succeed. We want Lamar to ascend. He was the MVP last year. We want him. I put bold numbers. I said, okay, he threw for just short of 4,000 yards and 36 touchdowns. So I said he's going to throw for 4,000 yards and have 40 passing touchdowns. Probably not even going to hit those numbers this year. That was my personal numbers for him. But the fact remains is they keep winning. They're a winning franchise. So I'm like, why am I complaining as a fan for the team winning? We can complain how they're winning. I get it, or break it down. But it's like, I feel like if I was a player, I wouldn't apologize for a win. Or even if I was a head coach, I'm like, so what? You know, the Ravens went, what did they go to? I have to look at the schedule here. Bear with me. But that's just, again, that's my beef with it all. Like, there's a way to win in the NFL. The old mantra of the Ravens was how to win ugly in the NFL. Last year they won very, very pretty, didn't they? You know, it was flashy. And again, that's what fans like, or most fans like. And because it's not that, and we have last year to compare to, they're like, losing their minds. And I'm like, but they're 4-1. I mean, is that too much to complain about? We're still a winning franchise. I just find it very comical sometimes that just, you know, fans are just the littlest things like tip them off. And I'm like, it's relax. Look, Lamar's going to get on track. Now, if he don't, and we can revisit this discussion in mid-November where if we're on a 3-game losing streak and the offense don't have it together, there's the issue. Then we can jump ship and hit the smash the panic button and complain. But, you know, they played – they have a win against the Browns. They have a win against the Texans. You know, they beat the – I mean, they beat teams where they should beat. So, I don't know. I just look at it a little bit differently. I care about winning. You know, I care about winning. I mean, and I echo my last point on that is I echo kind of like, I guess, Michael Crabtree and John Brown in 2018. Remember, Joe Flacco was in, here comes Lamar, and then they were pressed in the media when, like, how you guys feeling? You're not getting the ball. Lamar's not throwing it to you. Blah, blah. And whether, again, whether it was player speak, whether it was just to say it for the cameras, whether they felt it in their hearts, we don't know a guy's heart, right? But John Brown stood in front of the camera and was like, we're winning. If I get 0 catches or 100 catches or whatever, 100 yards, as long as they're winning, and even Mark Ingram said that too. He's like, I'm fine with sitting on the bench if we keep winning like this. Like, I don't care if I don't get the ball. Players complain when they're not – when they complain when they're not winning. I've seen it, right? Like, okay, if the Ravens are 1-4 and flip the script, you'll start – oh, Harbaugh in the hot seat. Is Roman going to be 5? That's where those conversations start. You don't hear those at 4-1 because winning, and that was my point I wanted to ask you, is winning good or bad for that? Because does it disguise what's the problem? You just don't, and you dismiss it because it's like, well, we're not going to fix it because we're winning, right? We don't need to because we're winning games, so why fix it? Or is winning bad because of that? Because there are problems and it's disguised because of winning. That was my whole point in all this discussion to unpack it in the beginning is the question posing, is winning bad when you have problems?
I think what you said earlier is the best way to wrap this up is the fact that if they're winning like this and it's December, then yeah, there's something to worry about because once the postseason hits, you're not going to be able to win games this way. You know, it's not going to happen because teams like the Bengals, like the Washington team, they're not going to be playing in January. So you do have to win. You have to beat those tougher teams. So now, but again, if it's happening right now, I think they're still trying to figure themselves out. Lamar, you know, has an entire season under his belt. He was the MVP last year. He was number one in the top 100. But there's also now 16 games worth of tape for coaches and players to watch and for them to figure his play out. So if they're going to try some different things in these couple weeks and they're going to see what else they can do with him, then yeah, go for it. Absolutely. Mix it up a little bit because Lamar, he only carried the ball twice for 3 yards this game. I'm sure that the Bengals went in there going like, we need to shut him down if he starts moving. So if they gave him a chance and he threw 37 passes on Sunday, it was tied for his second highest total in the regular season. Yeah, let him use his arm. Let him display that. Let him work with his receivers a little bit more. You know, you got to figure that out. They're stagnant right now. There's no doubt about that. If they're stagnant in December, then and they're winning, then it's still something you got to be worried about. But right now, a win is a win. It's going to continue to stack them up. Get ready for the postseason because you need these wins now. Because like you said, in November, there's a lot of teams that are going to be hard to beat. So get the wins now. Try different things out now while you still can because you want Lamar and you want the offense to be dynamic. You want them to not just be a one-trick pony. You know, you want them to be able to do different things, use different weapons. And the only way to figure that out, again, without a preseason, is to just do it now.
You hit it right there, man. And I recognize, especially talking with fans on social media, right, especially some of my friends, they brought up a great point like you just said. This team right now ain't beating the Steelers, what they're playing right now at offensively. You know, defensively, they might be keeping them in the game. The offense is the question. And it's kind of crazy, right? Because how could we sit here and question an offense that we've seen do great things last year and they just added a few pieces? We didn't lose anybody. You know, the only person I can think of we lost is Marshall Yanda on the line. Big, big loss there, obviously. You know, Hall of Fame and Pro Bowler. But You know, but we didn't lose receivers. We didn't lose running backs. We gained a running back in J.K. Dobbins. He's not being used correctly. So it's like, it's just, I don't want to waste. I don't want to waste the talent. I don't want to waste the opportunities. But as it stands now, the litmus test is coming in November. They got one game and a bye to get ready for it, right? The Steelers play the Browns this Sunday. We play the Eagles. That's going to be it right there because, you know, if the Browns end up taking that game, and Browns are 5-1, the Steelers are 4-1, and we're 5-1. It's on, baby. It's on. And who'd have thought that we have to keep winning to keep pace with the Cleveland Browns on our heels, with Pittsburgh leading the charge with a unblemished record in the loss column. So, but again, also they haven't played anybody either. And you can sit there and say, you know, it wins a win, and this is going back to the It's Just the Dolphins thing. You never apologize for your opponent. You got to play the bad teams. You got to play the good teams. You can't just pick all the good teams and play them, and you can't pick all the bad teams and play them. But there's a litmus test. The Ravens have played one quality team and lost to that team. Pittsburgh hasn't. The Ravens will be tested in November, so we'll get to know who they are. You know, we're not – you know, we know who they are. You know, they're the Ravens that have offensive woes that are winning with big plays in defense and getting by. But I would be right concerned in early season, especially in September and October, if – they were playing these bad teams right now and they're barely winning. Like, oh, it's a 7 or it's a 27 and a 24 win, or it's, but a lot, we've heard the term sleepwalking, disinterest in the game, but they're coasting in these wins. They're barely doing anything. And I think what fans' problem is they should have won 50, 60, 70 to nothing like a college game, but they didn't. They won 24, 27, 3. You know, it should have been way out of hand. I felt like with a 20-0 lead in the fourth quarter until the fumble return for a touchdown, even that put it away. I mean, that was it. That was kind of like you could turn a game off and enjoy your Sunday at that point. You didn't even watch the last 8 minutes of the game. But you just felt like obviously the game was in hand. But it's just the way that is. It's like, okay, if the offense makes one or two or three more plays or here or sustains a few more drives, it's really no contest. And then it's really on. And then you're really having fun. Then you're seeing Lamar sit in the fourth quarter, rested and ready to go, instead of working on things late in fourth. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to have with this team because they're 4-1, and I feel like we should be jumping for joy. Oh, Ravens won, man. And we should be all, but they're winning with issues, and there's a concern there. But hey, I'm happy they're 4-1. I'm sure you're ecstatic too because, I mean, hey, they're one game from 5-0. I mean, you figured the Seattle Seahawks, I know the NFC, but they're 5-0 right now. The Ravens are one game off for the best record in the NFL for 5 weeks. That's nothing to sneeze about, or, you know, it's not sneeze at. It's like I look at that as a positive, but we want to break it down here on the call that we recognize there's issues. They got to win starting now because November's going to be really tumultuous to get over. But all in all, man, you have to feel good about this win against another divisional opponent, 2-0, beating the other Ohio team, beating Joe Burrow soundly, had no answer. Ravens pretty much on defensively were just so suffocating, it just was no contest. And that's what I was excited about. We know what the defense can bring. We just want the offense to rise to meet them where they're at. Because if the offense had a game like the defense had on Sunday, this would have been – this probably wouldn't have been a blowout to epic proportions, 100%. So – I think that's why most are upset. It's like it could have been that much more crisper, that much more cleaner, especially after this quality opponent or non-quality opponent. And they kind of just like coasted, like, eh. They kind of just basically just showed up and got a C grade. Like they just showed up, passed the test, but they could have done a lot better. And I felt like the effort there. But again, we don't know what these guys are dealing with. Lamar barely practiced. Harbaugh addressed it. You know, quarterback's got to practice. Lamar didn't get that. I know that. And he's still young. He's not a veteran by any stretch of the means, but he's a face of the league, face of the franchise. Everybody needs to do better and held accountable. But like the schedule sets up, another recipe for getting that right. Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, man, another team, you know, who just, you know, trying to find their way. They got one win on the season. It was against the 49ers 2 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football. They just lost a heartbreaker to the Steelers on Sunday. They had them. Steelers could not contain Chase Claypool, but we're not talking about Chase Claypool and the Steelers. He had a crazy game, 4 touchdowns total. But that could be something to be said about the Ravens, and that's why I want to start with the breakdown of reviewing this game or previewing this game. So obviously with Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, I want to see Marquise unleashed, because what Chase Claypool did, Philly took away Juju Smith-Schuster. He wasn't hurt all day long, right? And then here comes Chase Claypool and I think he emerged because Deontay Johnson for the Steelers got hurt. But Chase Claypool got unleashed, 3 passing touchdowns and a rush touchdown, 4 spot on the day. That could be something to look at a film for the Ravens, because I feel like they can exploit Philadelphia just like that and have a cleaner offensive game. I think they can go that route. I really want to see the passing game on track here. But not only that, Brandon, I really want them to get the running game going. They got to give Dobbins the ball. He's a bona fide playmaker. You got to give Ingram the ball in the interior. Let him, you know, pave the way. I feel like they got away from the running game way too early again. The running game's got to get established once again, man.
I completely agree with you. We definitely need to see that. And Dobbins, in the little bit that we have seen him this season, I mean, he's definitely looked like he's your playmaker going forward. But I think he was in like 1 or 2 plays on Sunday, and then he was kind of quiet. So I'd like to see him get a little bit more involved. And I want to see Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown and Lamar get on the same page, because that is going to be something that they need to work on and they need to fix. And hopefully going up against a team like Philadelphia, they can do that here. That's what they need to do. The defense, I don't really think you need to change anything right now. They're looking absolutely fantastic. It's the offense that really needs to get on the same page and figure this stuff out. But I agree with you. Dobbins, he should be a guy we are seeing more on the field.
Oh, by far and away, man. I mean, you know, right now I get he's not the starter. It's Mike Ingram's spot. But Dobbins is that – he's that Alvin Kamara to Mark Ingram when Mark Ingram was in New Orleans, right? It was thunder lightning. You know, Lamar can run it when he needs to, you know, in certain situations, or obviously when his number's called. But I want a heavy dose of Ingram, and that's what kind of they did against the Texans in week 2. You know, we saw the aerial attack in week 1 against the Browns. You know, Lamar throwing all over the place, 3 touchdowns. They barely ran the ball, but when they did, they were still efficient. But then it was, you know, the running game. You know, they had 180 yards rushing, 150 in the fourth quarter, just ground and pound. You know, Mark Ingram on the 4th and run. You know, putting the game away with the long touchdown. That was the game plan. Game sealing play, just like the fumble return for a touchdown against the Bengals. So they got to get back to the basics of run pass balance. I feel like not comparing the 2 quarterbacks or 2 offenses, but it was the same formula with Joe Flacco. And it's crazy how this works out. When Joe threw it too many times, whether it was by design or the game plan called for it, the Ravens would lose most of those games because it wasn't built for that. Same thing with Lamar. If Lamar's got to go there about 30, 40, 50 times a game, it's not going to work in the Ravens' favor. They have to have that run pass balance. He's a quarterback. If he's got to be called to throw 50 times a game, he should be efficient. He should be getting the job done. We get that. But the Ravens have never had that kind of success with the quarterback throwing it that many times. And he boots for a lot of mistakes. And speaking of that, Lamar's got to cut it down. I mean, he threw that 1 interception. That's 2 interceptions on the year. Could have had 3, and it's 2 games in a row he had a pick, and he could have had 3 interceptions too against the same linebacker. So some of those throws I don't know what he was doing, but Lamar's got to be better passing game all around. Again, he was very hesitant on pump fakes, kind of was more indecisive back there. Recipe with Philly, it could easily bode well for the Ravens to really sit down and get back on track and really fine tune what they need to going into the bye week and resting up. The Ravens are relatively healthy so far through the season, and that's pretty much played into their favor, right? Because they haven't had that big-time injury just like the Cowboys had with Dak Prescott. So, knock on wood, the Ravens have stayed away from that, other than a few banged up here, you know, illnesses here and there. But the Ravens can enter this game. They can win it clean, win it early, and put them away, get to the bye week. I would love nothing more than they come out, hear our complaints, hear our cries as a fan base. You know what? And they go out and stomp them 45-7, and Lamar sits into the fourth quarter, and then you had the bye week, and then all is good for Pittsburgh coming, turn the page on November 1st. So it's pretty much as simple as that. I mean, we know the Eagles are reeling. And with Carson Wentz in that line, I expect a repeat performance of the defense, just like how they attacked Joe Burrow, because as we've seen with some of these games, especially the Rams and Eagles game earlier, you know, Wentz is fragile, as we know. Everybody knows it. It's only a matter of time if he gets hurt and popped, and you don't want to wish anybody hurt or anything. But with that line and the way that play's been going and where the Wentz has been getting hit all this time this year, it's a matter of time for Jalen Hurts takes over. You know, you got to protect your quarterback. So the Ravens, there's the weaknesses right there on the line. They can get after Wentz, really be disruptive early. The offense goes to work and feast early, you know, and exposing the passing offense or passing defense, I should say, the Eagles, just how the Steelers did with Chase Claypool on Sunday. I think the Ravens could really be in for a nice party. I mean, hey, Lamar can throw for 4 touchdowns on Sunday, 300 yards. That's kind of where I'm going to set the bar for him, say, let's do it. And I want the rushing game. I want the game to get so far out ahead that the Ravens, that's all they do. Third and fourth quarter, just rush the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball some more. And the defense goes to work. I really feel like this could be that game where they can just go up north, our I-95, the Birds of the North and the Eagles, and really take it on. But this is going to have a different feel, right, Brandon? They changed their stance. When COVID first hit and the NFL was going to play football, Eagles were one of the first franchises to say, absolutely no fans whatsoever. They changed their stance. There will be fans.
That's right. Philadelphia is allowing 7,500 people in the stadium. They said they're going to sell about 5,500 tickets. So the other 2,000 people are going to be staff, you know, TV crew, that type of thing. So 5,500 people. It seems like they're going to follow in the footsteps of a couple other places and do kind of pods of people in the stands. So that'll be interesting to see, and it'll be interesting for the Ravens, especially the rookies who have not been in front of an NFL crowd before. And since it is so close, there may be a chance that people from Maryland, maybe Raven fans, go up to Philadelphia.
Big chance, including myself. I'm actually contemplating on how to get up there. I will be there some. I'm probably going to go. This is the one I want to go on. I mean, I've never personally, Brandon, I've never been to this stadium for a road trip, so it'll be a prime opportunity to get it out of the way. Whether it's packed to the gills or not, hey, it's still a game, it's still the NFL. But there'll be a chance for me to actually see a Ravens game in person in COVID terms under this crazy year, and not even in our own stadium, which is ridiculous. But I'm like, look, it's so close, I don't have to fly. We drive out to Philly, and with only 5,000 fans, how easy is the traffic going to be?
That's true.
I mean, think about it. It's a Sunday afternoon, Philadelphia. It's not going to be packed to the gills. This will be the prime time to get up there. Hope tickets aren't crazy. And that's what the thing is like I've seen with some of these teams coming out with tickets because they're so finite that the ticket prices are just inflated. Like if you can't get your hands on them when they get released, they're just going for like hundreds of dollars. And it's almost like, well, how much is it worth to you? You want to go to a game this year? Because you're going to pay. So I don't know. I've heard some other places were reasonable. And then some places were just like, especially the opening night against the Chiefs, and maybe because it was opening night, but you know, those tickets were $200-$400 just for upper levels, just for that game. But hey, it was opening night, defending chance. We get that, what that's about. But all in all, that's going to be a difference for the Ravens because for the first time, other than the little, and I don't count the 250, you know, the 250 friends and family, right? Because I mean, look, you know, they're not up and cheering. It's Philadelphia. So, you know, you're getting two passionate fan bases with the Ravens and Eagles, very boisterous, very verbose. So you're going to get it. So I feel like that's going to be the test, right? It'll be like the only true first road game they've really had this year. So I'm not mentioning all this to say the fact that it's going to make a difference for the Ravens or Eagles versus, you know, or anything, but I would like to see how it affects and how they adhere to it because they've been nothing but simulated crowd noise. I haven't been in the stadiums, obviously, or even close to them, but with 250 friends and family of the team, I guarantee they're not getting up and making noise. Most of them are, you know, obviously their spouses or families. They got kids sitting there. They're not the true fans who are getting up and cheering and roaring on third down, so making some noise there. So this shall be interesting as a true road test for the Ravens because as it stands, later in the year, things could change. You know, I've heard, you know, Pittsburgh did the same thing on Sunday. Pittsburgh had five, I think they opened their stadium up to the same 5,000 fans for the Eagles Steelers game. So teams are starting to do it. Everybody's wondering when the Ravens are going to do it. They haven't been close to releasing it yet. I'm a season ticket holder, so if I get any breaking news, I'll be the first to put it out there for y'all. But as of right now, the Ravens are not letting us in. So that's why I want to get up to Philly.
Baltimore is having so many issues right now. So it's every time that locally here in Maryland, the governor does reopen stuff, Baltimore City is one of the last ones to do that. I think we're in phase three as a state, but Baltimore City is only in phase two. So there are still a lot of things that are not open in right. Baltimore City. And, you know, they've stopped picking up our trash and stuff like that. They don't do recycling anymore. So there's a lot of stuff that's missing right now in Baltimore, and Ravens football is definitely one of them. But I'm wondering if the Ravens are going to do what they did when they went to Washington and stay in a team hotel in Maryland and drive up for them in the morning to go to Philadelphia. That's what they did for the Washington game.
And that makes sense. I mean, it's probably double the distance, right, or hours. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I work up in that area in Delaware, it's right between us and Philly. So it's not that far from where I work. So, yeah, that's probably doable. You know, leave the bus 6, 7 a.m., get up there, you know, get your routine. I don't know what time the team's got to get there. I don't know the protocol or itinerary. But that, to me, makes better sense. You know, stay here, you know, whether you're home or in a team hotel here in Maryland, get the good night's rest, get up early, get on the bus, get up there. Instead of trying to rush on Saturday night, getting up there, and then you're in a different city, don't know where you're acclimated to. So that could bode well. I'll be interested to see if that comes out reporting, if the Ravens, what they decide to do there.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. So you talked about it a little bit, but what do you think the Ravens have to do? What does Lamar have to do with his receiving core, with the running game, to get everybody on the same page? Because as we've seen, like, they are working on different things, like we saw in the Cincinnati game. They don't seem to be really on the same page right now, but we haven't really heard anything from, like, Nick Boyle or Willie Snead or players like that. You know, right. He's missing Mark Andrews, or Mark Andrews isn't catching things. He's not really connecting a lot on the long ball with Hollywood Brown. What do they have to do to get everybody on the same page at this point?
They basically got to get back to the basics. I think Lamar's got to relax. Easier for me to say, just watching him on TV, not doing the job.
Let me ask you that, though. Yeah. Like, I'm glad you said that, because is Lamar, since we've drafted Lamar, he's always said, you're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. Is he putting too much pressure on himself? Because I'm one of those people, too, where I know the goal I want to achieve when I do something for work or in my personal life or whatever, and I almost get, like, too consumed with the goal that I'm missing, like, the journey to get to that. So do you think he's just putting too much pressure on himself? He sees that Super Bowl, he wants that Super Bowl, but he's too focused on it almost?
Yeah, great point. Yes, I 100% I believe that. I feel like, you know, I don't even think it's the Super Bowl. I think it's the expectations of, okay, I had a stellar year last year. Last year, he looked so relaxed, right? It looked natural for him. Flicking the ball around, running around.
Dancing after a play.
Right. They could do anything. It's not the same Lamar. And it's not like it got hurt, right? We saw what Joe Flacco got hurt, and he wasn't the same Joe. Flinching, he was hesitant, and it ultimately led to, obviously, we know what it led to. You know, the quarterback's not the same when they get hurt. And Lamar hasn't been hurt yet. I don't even want to say yet, because not to say wish he does or he will, but it's football. You know, let's go through a career. It's really hard to do, but let's just hope he comes out of his whole career unscathed. But, you know, I'd be more hard pressed if he was coming back from a major injury and, like, okay, he's hesitant. He's having flashbacks about that knee or that ankle or that shoulder, but he hasn't. And seeing him, week one, he wasn't. Week one was the Lamar that we saw last year. No preseason, and you remember how that game was? No preseason, no offseason, OTAs, whatnot. And Lamar come out, and it was the same. Flying around the field, winging the ball down the field, and having fun. It was 38-6. Offense was flying high. And then as you progress through the season, I don't know if it was the Chiefs game that rattled him. I don't know. And that was a shocker, because Lamar usually shines on prime time. and he didn't. So I don't know. Everybody keeps saying playoffs and then the regular season games. Can't win the big game, can't beat the Chiefs, and can't win the playoffs. He's 0-3 against the Chiefs, 0-2 in the playoffs. So I don't know. And I 100% agree. I think the pressure is getting to him. I think he's put too much pressure on himself, knowing that he was the MVP last year, knowing what they got accomplished offensively, and he's pressing. He's forcing balls that he shouldn't be throwing in there. You know, he's double – like the touchdown, even though it was a touchdown pass to Mark Andrews, he double pumped. He kind of was like hesitant. And I don't know if it was a double pump out of hesitation or if he was doing the fake the offense, but there was more throws on Sunday that it was kind of like he went to throw it and he stopped, and then he's kind of like trying to like really press too much. And I'm like, if I was his coach, you know, I would say I would take him aside, grab him by the shoulders. Hey, listen, bro, relax, slow it down. That's why last year he was so successful, because the great ones like Ray Lewis and all them, they slowed the game down. Last year it was easy for him. He could see what was developing. He can see it ahead of it and get out in front of it. This year, with these few games we've seen already, he's pressing far too much. The pressure is mounting. But again, it ain't pressure to win. We're 4-1, right? It's the pressure to perform. He wants to perform. He probably put off the expectations like we did, right? Oh, I'm wanting to throw for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. He probably wants to do that too. He wants the Super Bowl. Let it come to you. Stop pressing. And he's pressing far too much.
Yeah, I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself, and I think he's almost getting obsessed with that goal. But enjoy the journey, enjoy the trip to get there, and make sure that you can perform the way that you're supposed to when you have to get to those big games. So I that's what I want to see from Lamar in the next couple games. I want him to be able to do that and work with his offense. And especially in this game, I want him to just relax a little bit. I want to see him be able to work with his receivers and, you know, get back to what he was doing before. It works. So what worked last year should work this year, and keep expanding his game. And that's what I'm hoping he's doing.
And that's the thing, is not only his coaches, I'm sure he wants himself to see. We all want the team to thrive. We want everybody to thrive. You know, there's only one football, you know, and not everybody can be successful at once, but everybody can eat. Everybody can sit at the table and eat. You know, some people get fed one Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever, you have it. You know, sometimes it's going to be defense, but, you know, and the Ravens can win so many ways. You know, that I kind of feel like that's still what makes them dangerous, because, like, it'd be way, way different if we were talking a different outcome where the offensive sputtered, but the defense sucks so bad, they can't hold their own and they lose to the Bengals. Okay. That's a different story. But there's where the strength of the team is. Where one lacks, the other rises to the occasion. Okay. The offense isn't getting it done. Defense, let's go to work. Okay. The defense can't cover anybody. Offense, let's go out there and put 40 on them. That's what makes the team dangerous still and great. You know, They're probably the weirdest 4-1 team to figure out, because it's like some teams you just know what they're about. Like last year, you knew what the Ravens were about. You knew what you were getting. You were getting Lamar Jackson and the whole kitchen sink, and the defense had playmakers, and you knew what you were getting in trouble. And what a 12-game winning streak to boot. So this year, I feel like you're going to get one. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to get the running attack. You don't know if you're going to get attacked by Lamar. You don't know if the defense is going to feast on you. I still feel like it makes them dangerous. They have issues, yes. But is there pressure? Yes. But and I feel like there's more pressure now, too, because the Steelers are 4-0. The Browns are 4-1. Look out. Like, this is not your old-school AFC North division. It's a three-horse race right now. Bengals are out of it, obviously, with one win. I mean, again, we're early and team going to run, but if you look at it right now, Ravens got to keep winning to keep pace. Just keep the pace. Win. At this point, it's kind of like do or die. Win at all costs, like playoffs. Like, again, if this is a playoff game and they won on Sunday in advance, are we going to – I mean, we could break it down how they won, right? But are we going to really complain? They won. Like, they advanced. So take it for what it is, reverting back to tying everything together. I feel like it's going to be more complete win. I feel it. I feel like they're going to be focused. Game before the bye week, a weak team, feast on them, dispose of them, get them out of the way. Ravens are going to take this one 30-10.
Oh, I like that number. I like that one a lot. I think the Ravens are also coming out with a win here. I'm going to say it's a little bit closer. I like the 30. I'm going to say 30-17 for the Ravens win on Sunday in Philadelphia. Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Absolutely, man. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We're always posting cool football-related articles we find, or photos or videos, anything we think is interesting or you guys would dig, we post up on our Facebook page. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social, on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready for those cheesesteaks. Take us out the way you always do.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. I want a cheesesteak right now. I'm going to eat one for dinner for the Tuesday night football. We got Tuesday night football tonight. How about that?
That's different.
This is where you know COVID's so, it's such a weird year, 2020. We actually have Tuesday night football in the NFL. Why not just have it all 6 days, 7 days a week? Have Wednesday night. Why not?
Hey, don't give the NFL any ideas. I think they're going
to
do that.
We should just stretch it out to one night a game. I mean, they got to keep – kudos to the NFL scheduling team, man, with these buys and craziness. And I know we're feeling the crazy pinch with fantasy, at least, with like, you know, guys in and next week the game's canceled and bye weeks and moving this and that. I mean, you can't keep track at the time. But, yeah, but it's been a crazy year. But we have Tuesday Night Football recording this today. 2 days after a great Ravens win. Tuesday night, got Bills and Titans. So teams of the unbeaten right now. So someone's going to come out with a loss. So this has been a crazy football year. But I kind of want to reach back, right? I'm going to end the show on a note, just like we did with the Bengals 2 years ago when it was Lamar's first game. Lamar's first game was against the Bengals. He was running all over the place. We had like 30 attempts rushing. It was crazy, right? You know, he wasn't throwing the ball, he's running it. And we had some miscues that game, but they won the game. And you remember Harbaugh's probably the best. This is the moment. Like, I've always loved Harbs. I know some people are out there like, hey, Harbs, we get it. It's fine. It's your opinion, is what it is. He's a great ball coach. If he was let go by the team, he'd be snatched up in a heartbeat. He's a successful coach, right? But one of his favorite speeches was two of them. My one was 2012 playoffs, but not only that, but late 2 years ago, 2018. Who could forget the good speech, right? And yes, you know, was the offense subpar? Good. You know, it was like, you know, did we not give Dobbins the ball? Did the running game sputter? Good. Yeah, it's like kind of like, you know, we need to get back to that, get that fire. Like, yeah, we recognize things are wrong, but the fact that remains is the Ravens are a 4-1 football team. They're a winning franchise. They're winning games, staying patient in AFC North, and nothing's going to change. We play the birds up north, the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's going to be a great one. And the Ravens can get back on track, and I firmly believe they will. Baltimore Ravens, before the bye week, we're going to fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.